Today on CityCast Pittsburgh, it's almost Earth Day, and we're sharing a bunch of fun ways to beautify our natural spaces this weekend. A gorgeous old work site in Churchill is up for auction, and we found the missing barge. Plus, I am very excited about the new and improved Davis Avenue Bridge. I think it's going to be a fun one. It's April 19th, the Friday News Roundup. I'm Megan Harris, and here's what Pittsburgh's talking about. I'm with CityCast executive producer Mallory Falk. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Good morning.
And producer Sophia Lowe. Good morning.
Hey.
Sophia, if people become members of CityCast Pittsburgh, I think that you should send them a list of your top three favorite Pittsburgh treats. We talk about you being the little treat person all the time. It feels like a fair trade.
Yeah, no, this sounds super fun to me. I would love to tell people more about what I'm eating. I also decided that this morning, this email is going to be called Snack Time with Sophia.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I love that. Sophia, in your inboxes, this is a perfect reason to join.
So if you're interested in that, or ad-free podcast listening, or you just really want to be a friendly neighbor and keep the city castiness going, please become a member today. You can find out more at membership.citycast.fm/Pittsburgh. And remember, you've got 1 week. So starting today, the 19th through the 26th, if you become a member, you get little treats from Sophia.
Treat suggestions.
Suggestions. That's important.
She will not be personally mailing cookies to your home.
Not yet.
So, team, what is the news this week? Sophia, I'm wondering if you ever found that missing barge.
Me personally, no. Did not try to take a swim in the river and look for it. But yes, the barge has been found.
In case you missed it, last week we talked about boats and bridges and all of the rain and the flood cleanup. And since then, we had more rain and 26 barges got loose on the Ohio River. How do they go missing?
That's also just like a very silly headline to read on a Saturday night, which is when I saw this. But also, this could have been more serious. One of the barges hit the Swickley Bridge. This was already closed down before the barge hit the bridge, so no one was on it at that time. But, you know, then they're doing bridge inspections afterwards. And there was also some damage to a couple marinas on the north side. But thankfully, you know, no major injuries or anything like that.
Yeah, and you might remember that after the cargo ship hit the Francis Scott Key Bridge and caused it to collapse in Baltimore, we explained all the reasons why a bridge here in Pittsburgh probably won't ever fall. At least it won't fall after being hit by a barge. Everything else is fair game.
Yeah, please go back and listen to that. It's our March 29th episode if you want to feel a little bit better every time you want to drive over a bridge.
Yeah, made me feel a little better. But anyway, all of these Ohio River barges got loose this past weekend when the flooding returned. But then one of the 26 didn't just get loose. It fully went missing. I guess that could happen pretty easily given just like how much flooding there was. But I'm also just like getting a kick out of imagining a big boat floating around aimlessly.
I think initially I was picturing like a find my iPhone situation, but like a find my barge, you know, like what if there's just like a little homing thing? It never once occurred to me that maybe it was missing because it just sank. Like, I get it. It makes sense. But I just wasn't picturing that. I was like thinking of those, you know, those abandoned boats along like the Allegheny River that they're just like embanked somewhere. They're like rusty shells. Like, I know a barge is bigger than that, but that's what I had in my mind.
If I saw a clean, nice looking barge on there, I would internally very much want to sneak on.
Just try to explore.
Yeah. I mean, the barge did sink, but I'm guessing it may have like floated around a little bit before it sank. But anyway, the Coast Guard did find the sunken barge and they confirmed that it's now submerged in the Ohio River around the Dash Shields Lock and Dam. So that's just north of the city near Emsworth. The owner of the barges has been the one responsible for cleanup and it seems like they've been working pretty fast.
Yeah, I'm really curious how you actually pull a barge out of a river.
A really big rope.
I'm imagining like a crane situation, but I really hope one of the news choppers films it. Like, what an operation that's going to be. It puts into perspective, I think, what's happening in Baltimore, trying to get all of those boat pieces and bridge pieces out of a major body of water.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Mallory, what newsy thing have you been watching this week?
Okay, Sophia, so this was before your time in Pittsburgh. Do you know that at one point there were plans to build an Amazon warehouse here?
No, I had absolutely no idea about this.
Yeah, this was a couple years ago. Amazon was planning to build this massive distribution center just outside of the city in Churchill, like just east of the city limits. And it was going to be at the old site of the Westinghouse Research Park. Residents were not happy with the plan. Some organized against it. And ultimately, Amazon backed out for unspecified reasons.
Yeah, the whole site is in like this big residential neighborhood area. People were worried about all kinds of things, air and light pollution, more traffic, more noise, particularly all of the big rigs, like the 18-wheelers that would probably be rolling through carrying all those packages. And the warehouse was going to run 24 hours a day. And some of them were also upset just that Amazon planned to flatten the whole campus, like the whole like Westinghouse site, and quote unquote, destroy the natural beauty of the place.
Yeah, because this site actually has a really interesting history and some really interesting design elements, which I'll get into in a minute here. But the whole reason I'm bringing this up now is because 2 years after Amazon scrapped its plans to build a warehouse on that site, it is going up for auction.
And it's huge, like 135 acres. It could be really cool to see something new or different there.
Yeah, it's going to be a minute before we find out the future of the site because bidding started last month but doesn't end until May 17th. As of Monday, no one had placed a bid yet.
Wait,
according
no
to
what?
The Trib. No one yet. But
so I could place one?
Are you going to bid for creating a treat factory on the site? I would definitely get behind that plan.
One might argue that Amazon was a treat factory, unfortunately.
Ooh.
I was thinking more just like little homemade Sophia treats, not
that's a lot of space for just me, but you know, just throw in a dollar there, see what happens.
I'd love a focaccia factory, focaccia by Sophia at the site. Anyway, yeah, no bids yet. But someone with the real estate group that currently owns the site said some developers have expressed an interest. So I guess we'll see whether or not anybody puts an offer in before next month.
Yeah, and I read that it's going to be a closed bid auction, so I guess we're not going to know who, if anyone, ultimately throws their hat in the ring, except, of course, for whoever ultimately buys the property, which is kind of a bummer. Like, I want to know who's got their eyes on it, because it's such a cool historical space.
Yeah, I saw an article in the Pittsburgh Business Times that was kind of speculating that it would make most sense as a retail site. It talked about how there just isn't a lot of big, open, available retail space right now. Like, that's part of why Hobby Lobby wanted to take over the Monroeville Convention Center.
Which is back open.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said many times, we don't need more Hobby Lobby trinkets.
Well, yes, lucky for you, Sophia, the Monroeville Convention Center lives on. But when that store got announced, the plans for that store got announced in February. There was research at the time showing there was no other space available in Monroeville for a store that's 50,000 square feet or bigger, and that there were only 12 vacancies in all of the Pittsburgh metro area for something that size. So some people in this article think that the old Westinghouse site would be a natural fit for, say, a big box store, and then maybe some other retailers would come in too.
I totally get that reasoning, but I'm kind of a nostalgic Pittsburgher now, and I wish it could become like a college or an art museum or something that might be able to, I guess, more naturally celebrate the mid-century modern architecture they've got going on over
right.
there. I say that, and I know that it's also been vacant for decades, so I don't even know what might be able to be preserved over there. I've just seen the photos of what it used to be.
I know nothing about the site. I haven't seen old photos. And to be honest, I only know a little bit about what Westinghouse was. So why was this site so special to people?
Yeah, so it was built starting in the 50s, and it was basically this big corporate campus with a ton of research labs for Westinghouse Electric. People there worked on projects like turning recycled paper into furniture and making air purifiers. But then it had all of these really beautiful pieces of it too, like walking trails, this like really gorgeous landscaping. And then back when there was this whole kerfuffle about Amazon coming in, I talked to a woman named Kathy Bordner. She was one of the neighbors in the area and organized against Amazon. Here's what she had to say.
Westinghouse, being cutting edge the way they were, they honored the topography. They didn't just go in and cut down all the trees, although I'm sure at the time they did cut down a lot of trees, but they worked their buildings into the landscape, and they incorporated the landscape, and they had the walking paths and things to make it a good experience for the employees.
She also mentioned that some of the buildings won prestigious architecture awards, which I think I can vouch for, at least that they were presented in architecture magazines. Like, you don't see a ton of, you know, corporate facilities in architecture magazines anymore. But that was back when it was first built. And she said that the site could be eligible for the National Register of Historic Places, too.
Megan, you're forgetting what I think is the coolest design element. Sophia, I'm going to send you an aerial photo of the site, and I want you to tell me if this looks like anything specific to you.
Okay, cool. I'm excited. I have only seen bland corporate campuses, so I don't even know what to expect.
This will be a good test of how skilled they were with this design, whether or not Sophia can actually identify it.
This kind of looks like a little truck.
Or a train?
With the wheels.
This is supposed to look like a train, and like the legend is, at least this is to kind of honor Westinghouse's connection to the locomotive, and that when people would be flying into Pittsburgh, they would, you know, see this giant locomotive from the sky. You can see that like the parking lots are all circular, so they look like the wheels of the train,
oh, yeah.
Which is very cool.
I think that's really cool. I've also never seen a cool parking lot.
I know. This is probably the most thoughtfully designed parking lot I've seen in my life. And then you can see, like, on the far left, it kind of looks like the, like, chimney stack coming out of the locomotive.
They should make more things into fun shapes.
I mean, I'm even just looking at this, I think I forget how big it is. I'm sure there are probably issues with asbestos or mold or worse. But if anything is salvageable, looking at this, like, wouldn't it be really cool if it ended up in the hands of someone who could preserve at least a tiny piece of it?
Yeah, that I would love that. We will include a link in the show notes if you want to see this aerial view for yourself. And we'll also check back in May to see who, if anybody, places the highest bid for the site.
The show today is brought to you by an incredible local resource, AIDS Free Pittsburgh, and their pledge to end the HIV/AIDS epidemic in Allegheny County by 2030. If that is a cause that is close to your heart, make sure you're around for their biggest event of the summer, the 6th annual Too Hot for July. It is a party, but it is also a chance to get confidential HIV and STI testing for free, plus info on the incredible preventative medicines we have now to keep yins happy, healthy, and feeling your most confident out on the town. So come on out to Allegheny Commons East Park on Thursday, May 30th. Yes, July is in the name, but the event is in May. Don't get confused. May 30th from 4 to 10 p.m. There will be DJ sets, a health fair and marketplace, a ballroom-inspired dance battle, cash bar, food trucks, and more. Plus, a performance by Tony Award winner Alex Newell, a.k.a. Unique from Glee. This is all thanks to True Tea Pittsburgh and so many folks doing the good work out here in the community. So do not miss out. Learn more at TooHotForJuly.com.
Okay, Megan, your turn. What is the news that you want to share this week?
I am very excited that the North Side is getting a little piece of itself back very soon.
Yeah, the Davis Avenue Bridge. I do not have a ton of historical background about this either, but I have been reading my Hey Pittsburgh newsletter.
Yes. So to tell you this story, I'm going to tell you a tale about my good friends, Dove and Ollie, not their real names, but they were looking for houses way back when and found this cute little two-bedroom spot in Brighton Heights. They were nature people, loved to run, hike, bike, and there's this bridge just a few blocks over that would take them into Riverview Park. So from Brighton Heights, it spanned this big valley into the park. They were so stoked. At that point, it was closed to cars, but they figured, hey, the city's going to fix it eventually, and then they'll just be able to zip over after work, have this great resource. Mm-hmm. Except that it did not get fixed. In fact, a few years after they moved into their little house, the city did a routine inspection that could have greenlit it for federal repair money. And allegedly, during that inspection, they determined that it was so unstable at that moment, it could collapse any second.
This is sounding very familiar.
So the city, this would have been under Mayor Ravenstahl, they evacuated the houses below it and the city imploded the entire thing a month later. Check out this video I found from WPXI. It was like a This Day in History thing. There's no explosion noise, so we will spare our listeners the sound of the news chopper in the background.
Whoa. It's kind of cool, actually.
Like, can you imagine being one of the houses in the foreground there, like where the smoke just like comes over everything?
Well, yeah, it happens so fast. It's so dramatic. You see like some flashes and then it's down.
Because it was a really tall bridge.
I'm also wondering, was there like damage to the houses too? I mean, I guess like people were evacuating and all of that stuff, but I can't imagine that some of the debris didn't go further away.
So in news reports I found from the time, residents say that like prior to this demolition, pieces of that bridge had been falling onto their homes for years before this.
No.
Oh.
Can you imagine?
I feel like every episode we've had recently, yes, the one about the barges was reassuring, but everything else just gives me like new reasons to be terrified of our city's bridges. Like I wasn't even imagining debris just falling on my house.
So that demolition was in 2009. My friends were just devastated. The Davis Avenue Bridge was their main way to get into Riverview, and suddenly, like, the artery was gone. No access to playgrounds, the dog park, the observatory, the pool, and a lot of residents felt that way. So looking into stories on this, I found a ton from back then and even more recently talking about what a lifeline the whole thing severed. And almost all of these reporters included quotes from lawmakers at the time and even more recently saying there was not a shot in hell it would ever get rebuilt. But here we are for a bunch of reasons. Now we have a little extra infrastructure money laying around and the North Side is getting its bridge back. I'm so excited. The city broke ground on it this month.
So good bridge news.
So good.
So, yeah, will this new one be for cars or is it for bikes and pedestrians?
This one's bike and ped only, but that seems chill. Like if you can drive there now, at least from Brighton Heights, it doesn't really cut off that much time. The issue wasn't distance. It was the enormous ravine. So like walking up and down those hills around Pittsburgh streets, which, as you know, are not super linear. That was the problem.
Yeah, I saw in the press release about this that they were estimating that right now it takes someone like a little over half an hour to walk from Brighton Heights to the park, and this will cut their commute time. You know, by their calculations, it'll reduce the walking time to about 5 minutes, which is very substantial.
Yeah, yeah. And just a note about the history on this, the original was built in 1898, but I guess it was kind of innovative at the time, so it lasted a while. This one is estimated to cost $6.2 million. The city says it's already funded, and that was just a lot cheaper than trying to build something for vehicle traffic.
Right.
You know, we've been to Riverview Park as a team before, back in the day when we did our strawberry pretzel salad taste-off.
A good day. Sophia, yeah, we'll do it again for you someday.
Yeah, yeah, we got to revisit that one. But it was just, yeah, it's just such like a beautiful space. And I mean, like a lot of the park systems in Pittsburgh, what I love is you do feel like you're stepping out of the city into like a beautiful nature reserve or something, even though it's right in the city.
Mm-hmm. So Megan, what about your friends? Are they excited about the bridge coming back?
That's the best / worst part. They don't actually live there anymore, so they fussed about losing their bridge for over a decade before finding a new house. So, like, they're happy for their old neighbors, but mad as hell that it took this long. Dove says he's actually going to go to the ribbon cutting and heckle city officials.
Well, if anyone else wants to join in on the heckling or join the celebration, when is this ribbon cutting taking place?
They broke ground this month, but the city says it's going to be open by fall 2024, which seems really fast to me. But if you want to follow along, there's a snazzy page on the city website where you can learn more. And there's a public art component to this, too. It's one of the projects that falls under this 1% public art tax that we've got now. So as soon as we know more about what that's going to look like or whether the public can get involved, we will let Yins know.
Well, speaking of enjoying nature and getting outside in the parks, it's almost Earth Day.
Yes, Monday, April 22nd is the official day. Last month, Mayor Ed Gainey's office announced that Pittsburgh is a Bloomberg American Sustainable City, which from my reading, I think means we get a little bit of change and maybe some support to work on climate change, particularly in places or neighborhoods that have been harmed by pollution. That's what they said.
Yeah, it looks like it's a big pot of money, but multiple cities share it. But Pittsburgh's going to hire a team of up to 3 people to work on all of this.
That sounds very consulting-y to me. there's a lot of environmental orgs around Pittsburgh doing important work. And I saw that the city wasn't on track to meet its goals for reducing carbon emissions. We're behind on our plan to cut emissions down 50% by 2030. So hopefully this maybe helps a little bit. Like maybe these people will have some ideas on how to do that.
I mean, personally, I think a lot of those emissions need to be driven by our steel town origins. Like, you know, it's on our big industrial centers to make the biggest impacts, but that's just me.
Right.
But with Earth Day coming up, we figured Yins might be thinking about how to be more environmentally conscious. So we found a bunch of ways to get involved on smaller scale projects in your community.
Yeah, CityCast's Francesca DeBecco put together a fantastic list of neighborhood cleanups for the Hey Pittsburgh newsletter. These have been happening all month, really, but because Earth Day is coming up on Monday, there are a lot of events this weekend. You can find everything at citycast.pittsburgh.fm, but just to give you an idea, like on Saturday alone, there are cleanups in Southside Flats, Brighton Heights, Etna, Bridgeville, Greenfield, and downtown.
Yeah, Sarah Inamorato, our county executive, and her crew will allegedly be at the downtown one if you want company. I think I saw Mayor Ganey is actually pitching in today, this afternoon, at Allegheny Riverfront Park.
Oh, fun. There's also tree planting projects in Brighton Heights and Lawrenceville tomorrow, too. And some of these volunteer events require registration, so I definitely recommend people just check for that. I think it helps to have a head count to figure out, you know, how many cleanup supplies to bring or how much food and drink to provide.
Yeah, and if you need a little extra incentive, a lot of these cleanups usually have that like food or snack element, and it can feel like a little casual get together to celebrate afterwards. It's nice to pitch in your community and also get to know your neighbors.
So besides these cleanup events, what other Earth Day celebrations do you two have on your radars?
I have my eye on a bunch of secondhand clothing sales and clothing swaps coming up. This weekend, Thriftburg's going to be at Construction Junction in Point Breeze. That's also on Saturday. And then looking ahead a little bit, if your Earth Day weekend is already booked up, there's another event at the Roboto Project in Garfield on Sunday, April 28th. That's a clothing swap that's all sizes and genders. And that one does give preference to people who RSVP in advance. So heads up for that, too. And then Old Flame Mending's also going to be at this one at the Roboto Project, so you can get clothing fixed.
I wonder how fast they can do the mending. I bet that's like a drop-off for some people with really complicated fixes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The Instagram post says it'll take about 2 to 3 weeks to get things fixed. So if it's something like a quick button.
Oh, yeah, that yeah. Tracks. I've heard great things about them, though.
Yeah.
And if you've got kids, I think something that could be really fun is the zoo's Wild Earth Day Festival. So they're going to do live music and art. That is also tomorrow, so Saturday.
So we've already discussed like a lot that's going on for Saturday, but I want to throw out one more Earth Day celebration. It's also on the 20th. Pittsburgh Parks Conservancy is throwing an Earth Month celebration at McKinley Park from noon to 3 p.m.
And McKinley is that big one between like Bellshoover, Bonaire, Knoxville. Mm-hmm. Definitely worth checking out the Pittsburgh Parks website if you're looking to get outside. They've got a lot of hikes, bird watching. If you listened to yesterday's episode about mushroom foraging, there's also some opportunities to get linked up with the Western Pennsylvania Mushroom Club. So their events are on the Pittsburgh Parks website calendar, too.
Yeah, I was so excited about yesterday's food show, and now I want to look for mushrooms, so highly recommend checking that out.
I'm slightly less terrified, so Sophia, I think your plan worked.
Good. Team field trip now.
Yes.
And then one more thing that isn't strictly Earth Day related, but probably helpful for anyone redoing their yards or gardens this time of year, the city is giving away free mulch this Saturday and next Saturday.
Yes, this is the mulch they make out of all those recycled Christmas trees we told y'all about a few months ago.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. So if you recycled your tree with the city, go get your free mulch in return now. It's being given out at the Pittsburgh Zoo's overflow parking lot, but you do need to bring your own bag, shovel, and gloves.
Pro tip, also bring a tarp. It can make getting it out of your car so much easier.
And if you live outside of the city, here's another pro tip. A ton of little municipalities all over Western Pennsylvania offer free dirt, compost, mulch, or topsoil. They're usually near a public works or municipal center, so definitely Google around for that if you're looking for something in your area.
So team, before we go, what will Yens be thinking about into the weekend?
I got pre-sale tickets for Sudden Little Thrills. Ooh. I'm so excited about that. It's a new...
Nice.
Yeah, it's a new music festival in Pittsburgh. It's going to be early September at Hazelwood Green. The headliners are The Killers and SZA. And ooh, then ooh. Other performances I'm excited about are Wiz Khalifa, Omar Apollo, Hippocampus. There's going to be local acts too. The pre-sale ended yesterday, but I imagine that tickets will still be available.
Thanks for the reminder, Sophia. This looks so great. I definitely want to get my tickets. I also have something music related I'm thinking about because WYEP is celebrating its golden anniversary this month.
50 years. Can you imagine?
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't been around quite as long as the station has, but I do remember first tuning into it when I was like a semi-angsty teen. It was just a fun way to start discovering new music. Once I was, wanted to expand beyond top 40s, it was definitely the soundtrack when I was practicing parallel parking as a high schooler. So I am happy to celebrate their birthday. And if you go to their website, they have a bunch of stories delving into their history. It's definitely worth checking out.
I feel like I'm biased because I used to work for Pittsburgh Community Broadcasting, which is the parent company of WYEP and WESA. And the best part by far of being in that building was when WYEP would do events and concerts. So you could be in a room of like 30 people watching like the most intimate show with a major act. It was the coolest thing ever.
Our own little tiny desk concert here in Pittsburgh.
Honest to God, they're such a resource. Love them. Once again, I have no chill. I have not one, not two, but three things that I'm going to be thinking about this weekend. I will keep them short. Number one, President Biden was in Pittsburgh on Wednesday buying turkey sub sandwiches at Sheetz.
I saw that. I was at that same Sheetz like 2 weeks ago. Also, turkey sub, not a good order at Sheetz. You want their fried stuff.
No, completely disagree. I hate their fried stuff. The turkey sub is like the only sandwich that is consistently okay. Bob Mayo at WTAE called the Sheetz to confirm the order.
Great journalism.
I know. And I saw that the national press was like laughing that this sub order was relayed by a reporter named Mayo. And that just brought me a lot of joy.
That's perfect.
But no.
This is the moment he was born for.
But no, Biden was here talking about U.S. Steel again. He went to the union headquarters. The federal government is proposing major tariffs on Chinese-made steel right now. Biden opposes this deal to sell U.S. Steel to Nippon Steel, which is based in Japan. Meanwhile, company shareholders from U.S. Steel last Friday to approve the sale, but it's just a formality because the feds get the final say. Then number two, all things being equal, there was former President Donald Trump's visit to Gettysburg, and I'm just going to play Jens the tape.
Gettysburg, what an unbelievable battle that was, the Battle of Gettysburg. What an unbelievable, I mean, it was so much and so interesting and so vicious and horrible and so beautiful in so many different ways. It represented such a big portion of the success of this country. Gettysburg, wow.
This reminds me of when I like didn't do my homework in middle school and like before.
People were making memes about that.
Yeah, that's actually like the main feature of the joke that Jon Stewart, who's doing The Daily Show again, made about this and Trump's trip. Reminder, Trump has been in court this week for jury selection for a hush money case in which he is accused of falsifying business records to pay off a porn star. That is one of four separate criminal cases he's currently facing. We will link to a Politico article if you need a refresher. But even though he's required to be in court, we will likely see more of him here in Western PA and the next few months.
The political commercials are already enough.
There's so many, and it's only going to get worse. Then I will leave you with this. Number three, Kraft Heinz, which is headquartered here in Pittsburgh. There's ketchup bottles on everything here, has released a new and delightful product. Have y'all seen it yet?
Is this purple ketchup all over again?
Kinda.
I learned this week that they have their own version of Chili Crisp,
which is a hilarious and separate issue right now.
Yeah, I guess the answer is neither of us knows what you're about to share with us.
So they've released Heinz Barbecue Sauce. It is hot pink barbecue sauce. It's for the 65th anniversary of Barbie, and for now it is only available in the UK and Spain and Ireland under certain conditions.
This is also hilarious to me because I feel like in general that part of the world has like much stricter regulations
Same.
About what can go into food. So I'm surprised it's debuting there instead of here where nothing is really regulated.
Yeah, this is absolutely up there with the green and purple Easy Squirt ketchups that millennials went nuts for in the 90s. I never bought it back then and I would absolutely purchase this. I am not missing round two.
Megan, you also left out that in addition to classic barbecue, there is also tomato ketchup.
Ketchup!
You're right. I'm sorry, that was a huge oversight. That's all for today here at CityCast Pittsburgh. Our music is by Benji. Mallory Falk is our executive producer. Sophia Lowe and Elizabeth Kama produce the show. Francesca DeBecco writes our newsletter, and I am your host, Megan Harris. We will be back on Monday with more news from around the city. Have a great weekend, everyone.
It wouldn't be a CityCast recording without someone chewing into the mic.